Frank here. He's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard? Not billiard. What? Not the billiards. It was... Come on, Rudy. What? Come on. We call it the place to be.
The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am a co-host, Justin Rosero, and as we close in on the big 100, I bring in my PIC, Scott Criscolo. How you doing, Scott?
JR, always a pleasure, my friend. And welcome, everyone, to number 96. My God, we're in the home stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought we'd – well, I knew we would, but it seemed funny even when we were taught when Jordan Duncan was talking about his – Dinner with Andre, that was what, episode like 20? It's like, but we are at 96. And boy, as you see on our Facebook page, the activities are hot and heavy as we get towards the big Cino.
We talked about this quick the other night, and I was talking about it with our buddy Andrew last night. Mm-hmm. I feel like Monday was kind of I feel like we've had multiple landmark nights as we've been doing this show. You know, I feel like we had the interviews, Eddie Edwards and John Walters and Graham and Stevie Richards was a big one. And I think we've hit various milestones. We made the deal with WrestleChat, actually ponying up the money to expand our site bandwidth.
Yes.
And starting the Facebook Nation and all this other stuff. And I feel like Monday was another step in that growth direction. I feel like the support that you guys, the Nation, all brought out when we posted the information about the 100th episode. And I feel like we've created such a community. All the way you guys all interact with each other and know each other, it's just pretty awesome. To me, that I think of all the great stuff we've done with the show, to me, that's my favorite, that we've made this like group of acquaintances that you guys, you know, probably never knew any of each other, and now you all interact on a daily basis, and everyone's really cool with each other. You know, there's no one fighting or flaming or trolling or anything like that. Everyone just gets along, and of course, El Gigante is now on the scene, so that kind of lit a fire under everyone, and that the fact that we knocked people out of that conversation, because they could. My friend Josh, our friend Josh Richard was here tonight, and he's like, I had to finally leave it, because I was getting nailed all morning with these messages, and that was hilarious, reading the interactions with everyone. So I just want to thank everyone for their enthusiasm and whatnot, and camaraderie across the nation. So, and we're going to bring that out in episode 100, and we'll talk more about that at the end when we do our wrap-up. So.
Exactly, a lot of people, when you and I started this, and I mean, we'll get into more of the sentimental stuff when we get to that show, but I think we were happy with, like, you know, if we had like 10 people that like us and, you know, and give us some trivia and funny stuff like that, but I never expected. And from all over the place, I mean, I almost find it cooler that we found people that live close to us. I mean, we've got what, one, two, there's like four loyal members of the Nation that actually live in Connecticut, which I think is pretty funny.
And equally as awesome is our buddy Dave Hall. From Australia is going to be joining us on the 100th episode. He's already worked out the time differences. He'll be coming on. He'll be the next day over there, which is pretty cool. So that one, I'm really looking forward to talking to Dave. That'll be really cool.
That'll be great, Dave. And if you want to bring up any Outback Jack jobber squashes, be our guest. I don't know how many of them there were, but it's going to be great. We're going to have a blast. But we have a few shows to get to, of course. And tonight, episode 96, of course it is our headline.
Shut up!
Don't ruin our fun. This isn't like the invasion. It is, of course, a headlines spectacular, the cornucopia of fun and games. Let's give you the quick rundown, of course. We will recap Raw quickly. The show had some good moments, of course, two.
You're not letting go. You're staying here.
Come on, Cross. I can fuck you, bitch, all night.
Is he going to be on, too? Or either of them going to be on? two huge announcements, which we'll, of course, get to. Gigantic marking out moments for both of us, one for me in particular. We will
creamy legs.
Exactly. And the return of Frenchie Martin for you. Then, of course, we'll go over SmackDown real quick. The spoilers for the show Friday night. We got a lot of network news. And speaking of network news.
Yes.
You and I got to puff our chest out, all right?
No, you got to puff your chest. I'm giving you the credit. Well, I did all the pimping, but I'll give you the credit for the scoop.
Okay. We, you know, all these...
Gorilla, who's the guy in the white suit?
That's me, Art. I got the white jacket. But we'll get more into that later. But I got some... I appreciate that. Thank you. But this is our show. And we, you know, I kind of brought the source, but we blew it out. So I gave you the gun. I gave you the bullet. You had the gun. Let's put it that way. And then we went to Pillman's, and then we went to Pillman's house in Kentucky. So no, I'm only kidding. Anyway, we'll get into that later. We got a lot of network stuff to go over. We haven't actually had a lot of news to go over in terms of the network the last few weeks, but boy, do we have a lot tonight. Then JR and I will give you part two of our 2011 year in review. We had like our big topics last week. This week, some lesser topics, but yeah, still interesting ones to discuss. Then, of course, we will give you all the news and notes from our good friends at WrestleChat.net. It was a little it was quiet at first, but the news kind of blew up a little bit. So
yeah, Wednesday late afternoon seems to be their hot bedtime. Usually a lot of news comes flying out around that time.
Yeah, usually, you know, stuff involving the shows and things like that. So then, of course, the second round of PTB Nation's Asshole of the Week. And we will talk in the sports portion of the program. Your team, your JETS Jets had a lot of swirling activity over the last few days. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the big Stanley Cup Finals rematch that occurred Saturday at the Garden.
It's funny, because I put that in the rundown. I don't really care to talk about the game. I got a lot to talk about the rivalry and about the level of attitude and play from our buddies out west.
Yes, I
concur. I have a feeling Jared Insel may not be very happy at the end of this episode.
No, he probably won't be, but that's okay. And then, of course, we'll wrap things up with our we'll do a quick recap of the four wildcard games. We won't go too crazy, but just cover, you know, the four games and give you our predictions for this week's divisional playoffs. All four games, I think, are going to be incredibly juicy and a lot of fun. I don't think you're going to see many blowouts. This week. So, and there's your show. So why don't we get right into it? We begin with our look at Monday night.
You think you know me?
We thought we'd be hearing that song as a major part of Raw this week.
Absolutely. And boy, do we wish the days when it was. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the actual show itself, of course, getting into mid-January, that means we get some announcements for who will be entering the 2012.
It came up quick on us this year, too. I read the thing on WrestleChat. It said Hall of Fame announcements may start tonight, and then there they were.
Yeah, it was weird. It's kind of snuck up on me, too. Obviously, there was one in the can already, and that was back in September when they did that tour of Mexico. They announced that Mil Mascaras will be in the Hall of Fame this year, the legendary and
asshole,
highly unlikable masked Mexican wrestler. For those that think we're just being jerks about it, read his bio. Read stories about him.
Mick Foley's got the main ones. He hates that dude, and he doesn't hate many people, Mick Foley. So.
Yeah, Mick finds the good in people like Scott Steiner, and that says a lot. So when Mick Foley has nothing good to say about you, you might be the asshole of the week.
So I was surprised that they had two nominees. I mean entrants. I thought they were definitely going to have one from what I had read, and then when they said, "Oh, we have another one coming later," I didn't think it was going to be anyone as big as what it was, to be honest. I thought it may just be like a low-level guy just to do two in one show. So,
yeah, I was kind of surprised at that, too. I was happy with the first one. So anyway, and we'll talk about there is two, but we'll get to the second one in a minute. Obviously, the first announcement is what you just heard, and that is, of course, the Rated R Superstar. To me, almost the face of the product in the 2000s.
Let me pose this question to you. Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Good. You want to say that?
No, I was going to say the face of the 2000s, the Rated R Superstar, four-time WWE champion, seven-time World Heavyweight champion, 14-time Tag Team champion. He's won King of the Ring. He's won a Royal Rumble. He's won Money in the Bank. Honestly, is there a guy who has a more complete resume? Not everybody has everything. No. He's got everything.
Yeah.
You know? And that is, of course, Edge. And congrats to the man. Obviously, he'll never wrestle in a ring again. He's got the same injury that Steve Austin has. And he will not be wrestling again. So,
let me ask you this.
Sure.
Because I've seen a lot of debate about this out there online. Is it too soon?
No, I don't think so. The reason I say that is because, number one, a lot of times people wait because you're not sure of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Look at Bob Backlund and him and his whole, I'm not ready to go in the hall yet. I'm still active. No, you're not. You're not active. Get over it. Right now, there's nothing left for him to do. His career is not going to be advanced. And I think right now, and you and I talked about this a few times on our show, about the fan base. Are people going to forget? Mm. Are people going to do this? In 10 years, when a lot of people think that, who knows when WrestleMania will be in Toronto again. People say it's going to be next year, but the rumors are next year it's going to be in Dallas.
Well, maybe not 10 years, though. I mean, I'm saying even a year.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I know everyone says that Rock's going to headline this show. I don't think so. I think he needs to focus on this match. I know they put Flair in, but
I'm surprised Rock's not going in.
I'm not either. But
in Miami. I mean, there's no way he is with Edge and you know, the ones that's still to come.
Yeah.
I can't see him going in now, but I thought for sure he'd be going in with his, you know. Well, you know, this isn't going to be his final match. There are rumors that he's going to stick around past WrestleMania, so I guess there's a chance that they think he's going to continue on the list. Wait, I guess I can see him going in an MSG. Of course, a lot of people are upset that Randy Savage doesn't seem to be going in, because as we'll talk about later in the news, there's another deceased wrestler going in, and they don't like to do more than one. And Savage is a headliner. He wouldn't be going in with these two.
No. Once you have these two in, it's all about like mid-card guys now. You don't want to load it up with too many. Because you made a good point to me when we were talking today during pre-production that you got to kind of – we'll talk more about this later, but you kind of got to thin these classes out. I agree with you with that. We can't be loading up great classes, and then by 2021, Outback Jack is headlining or something.
I had a good kind of conversation with Matt Davis last night, because he said that guys going in this quickly after retiring should be saved for, like, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair. He said he doesn't know if Edge is on that level. And I said, well, when you look at it, he's pretty much the closest we're going to get from guys from this generation that are on that level. I mean, you got Undertaker and Triple H and whatnot, but those are from the bygone generation. But Edge is kind of the Shawn Michaels of the 2000s. I mean, he's a guy that was on top of the card for most of the decade, a good 7 years. He was a top face, a top heel, main evented a lot of pay-per-views, won a lot of titles, was always in the main picture, was a pretty good ratings draw. So to me, he's almost like – now, I'm not saying he's on Shawn Michaels' level ability-wise, because I don't think anybody really is, but
right.
When you look at Shawn Michaels' mid-90s run, I think Edge is very comparable to what the position he was in. So to me, Edge is kind of the modern-day, you know, version, along with Cena and maybe eventually, I guess, Orton, but of what those guys were out of the 90s.
And the other thing about Edge is, and people are very, very happy about this, Edge is the consummate professional. He's the consummate company guy. He grew up – he is the typical guy that the company loved. He grew up loving this business. He grew up being a fan. You know, his face – you'll always see his face, what, 8 rows from the ring at WrestleMania 6. He's a fan for life, and they love that. And I think no one else respects this business more than he does. You know, the whole 2005 Lita-ish thing, people kind of let that pass because everybody's got personal skeletons in their closet. Nobody gets away clean.
If anything, it made him a bigger star in the end. So.
Yeah, it actually made his heel character even more smarmy. And then people kind of got over it as they got – and then they realized Lita's kind of a bitch too. So, and then, of course, as we see now, the 2011 asshole of the year, no one feels bad for him anymore either. So Edge actually came out looking like the better guy in the end. But I think right now is a perfect time to honor a guy who just deserves the spot. And with his career essentially complete, the book is closed.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to get any different. And what more can you do? Like I said, nobody else right now, nobody, not even Taker or Triple H, has a more complete resume than he does. He's won almost every title. He's one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. He's won every conceivable modern day gimmick. He's won a Rumble. He's won a King of the Ring. He's won a Money in the Bank. He's won everything. And I think he deserves it now. So, no, I don't think it's too soon. I don't think it's too soon.
Okay. And we
could
have
waited. I guess you could have waited a little bit, but I don't think so. I don't think this dummies it down at all. I don't.
Okay. We do have some topics we want to get into with the Hall of Fame as we get closer as far as future possibilities and different things they can do. No, but I think we'll save that for when we're getting closer to a little Hall of Fame fever. So,
exactly.
I guess I'll give you the honor of discussing the second announced induction.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Four Horsemen.
Four Horsemen, baby. Think they'll bring him back? Think they'll find him out of the strip joint he's hiding in or whatever?
That'd be awesome if he did the induction. I'm going to introduce my boys here, Ric Flair. I'm sorry, I totally scooped your thunder. Go ahead, make your announcement.
That's okay. As you can tell, also going into the 2012 WWE Hall of Fame, easily, the originals, often imitated, never duplicated, the greatest heel stable in the history of the business. Without them, there would be no DX. Without them, there would be no NWO. There'd be no Evolution. You go back in time, you talk about four guys who did it all right for the company, for the business, for everything. Ric Flair, the enforcer, AA Arn Anderson, the guy who Shawn Michaels said, and I quote, the coolest heel I ever saw, Tully Blanchard, and a guy that no one could dispute was one of the 80s greatest in-ring workers, Barry Windham. Him too. Did you notice, though, that in the Hall of Fame piece, he had the least lines? Yeah.
Well, when... I think the plan is safe until they probably know for sure. Yeah. We have a pretty good news bit on that when we get to Wrestle Chat segment about Flair's involvement and what his role may be at the Hall of Fame. So,
but the funny thing about it was is the minute people saw the opening piece, my phone blew up, text and Facebook, because everybody the first and that makes me feel good. The first person they think of when they see that is me, and that makes me feel good. I appreciate that to everybody.
Now, do you have an issue with anyone? Because I've seen some people bitching that Flair's already in. Why are they putting him in again? What does this mean? I mean, I think some people just take things a little too seriously, but.
Well, you know, the problem is I don't think these guys would get their just desserts as individuals.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, I don't see – I mean, Arn is long overdue, but I couldn't see – I mean, Tully – I don't know if Tully really deserves to be in on his own. You know, he's best known for the Horseman. Do you have – there's also, of course, the king of semantics, Matt Davis, was taking beef with the fact that they said just the four Horsemen. And he's like, that means everyone, Benoit and all these other guys. And I was like, no, I don't think so. And – do you have an issue with them considering this group like the Horsemen?
Because it is. I know what everyone's going to say. What about Ole? Ole is a bitter old man.
Okay? He doesn't want any part of it. And Graham Cawthon talked about that a lot on his Facebook page. I saw people complaining about him being shut out or left out and them ignoring him and forgetting him. But he wants no part of it, Graham said.
No, he's been a miserable guy for 10 years. And Flair has said it, you know, Ole's the one that made his bed and lied in it. When he came back in 93, from WWE and went back, or WWF, sorry, and went back to WCW, Ole treated him like shit. And it was like the two of them never were horsemen. So I'm sorry. I don't blame, that's Ole's fault. He's the one that's got to be grumpy about things, and I've heard about the – and I, if I do go in August, I will look forward to meet him, which is pretty funny. But, you know, he's the one that tells all these stories about how guys wronged him and everything. He's the one that booked that Black Scorpion crap in 1990. Nobody else. So he's the one that's got all the chips on his shoulder. Nobody else. And when you talk about easily, the guys who had the best work rate, the best four workers together at once – it's the Horseman with Barry Windham. Pure and simple. And all of us
better
that are
than the Benoit Pillman group?
They were good from a entertainment perspective. Pillman, unfortunately, by the time he was a horseman, he enjoyed the loose cannon gimmick more than he actually did the wrestling.
No, not early. Not that late 95 little run into early 96 before he went off the rails. He hadn't gotten in the car accident or anything yet.
Mm. No, I'm not saying he was not a bad wrestler from actually wrestling. I felt like he wasn't wrestling as much like Barry Windham did. But no, that Horseman group was more about the entertainment side of it. And I'm not saying Benoit was a bad wrestler at all, but I mean, as much as we love Mongo, baby, Mongo doesn't go in the class of these other guys, unfortunately. So,
hopefully Windham's healthy enough to show up.
Good
to be there.
No, I am too. I hope that I think that's. I think that's actually a higher priority on the list of guys than Flair. Flair is more of a contractual business thing. I really hope that, and I think everyone hopes that Barry will be in the shape. He's been in the hot. He says he's improving well. We've read the stories here on the show. He's got, you know, just under 3 months. So
now, how do you feel about the duplicate thing?
Oh, about Flair going in again? Yeah. Nah, he's a horseman. Simple as that.
Yeah, we talked about this. We talked about this earlier, that I think there are guys in tag teams that deserve to be in, where as singles guys, they don't. But, like, say the Hart Foundation. That's a team that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but Anvil on his own does not.
No.
So I think it's fine to have guys in there twice. Like we said, it's like having a baseball player who's in for as being a player and a coach. I mean, Yep. The Rockers should probably get in. So yep. Shawn Michaels and then the Rockers. I mean, those are two separate, completely different entities. So I think that's fine. I'm fine with them going as the Horsemen and also going in as Ric Flair, especially certain guys on certain levels. I think it's fine.
And, you know, Flair is an emotional guy. I was talking to our friend John about it. He'll be on stage, but he won't say much. He's going to give the floor.
Right.
If he shows up, he'll give the floor to Arn, Tully, and Barry.
Yeah.
He's not going to sit there and milk it. That's not
JJ,
like.
Is he going in with?
Yeah,
them?
JJ. Yeah, no, it seems like. I mean, he's on the screen when they show the clip. I'm sure JJ is going to go in. He was the architect. Man, he ran
right?
the show. So I think JJ will be. And he's on good terms with the
JJ's company. Not in yet, right? On his own?
No, he's not on his own. No. He'll be. He'll be in as well. Now, in terms of inducting, everyone thinks that obviously and I said this to you, and I said it to the Harry Silverback there of Barotella. I said, obviously the easy choice to induct would be Hunter, I think, or Hunter and Sean together. That would make sense.
Right.
But I said to you, and I said to him, I said the guy that ultimately deserves, if he's healthy, deserves to induct them is Bobby.
Yeah.
Flair always called Bobby the fifth horseman. Always.
I don't know what kind of shape he's in now. Interesting twist that came out. Actually, well, I guess we could talk about it now instead of in the news. But Lex Luger said he's going to be there. He said wants to be there for the induction. I wonder if they drag him up to induct them. We'll see. No. We'll see how it goes.
If he wears it, well, maybe he'll come up in his pink tux and then they'll fucking beat the shit out of him. What I want him to do. but anyway, obviously, it brought a tear to my eye and. Got me very emotional. I knew the day was coming. I think we all did, but just to actually see it and know it's coming is an incredible moment. It's the first, as a kid, it was the first heels I ever liked, and they deserve their place. And no, I don't care about Flair going in twice. It's Flair. Me? You're gonna ask me? You want an objective answer? I'm the wrong one to ask. As much as he is a kind of a degenerate right now, but still, we're talking about his career. And in terms of inducting, probably it'll be Hunter and Sean. I think they'll do a combo, but. But instead of Hunter alone, I think.
And Edge already said that if it's up to him, obviously Christian's going to induct him.
Yeah, that there's no doubt about it. And I think they'll give him the discretion. I'm sure Christian will induct him. Mil Mascaris, I think, will just induct himself because I don't think anybody. I don't think he'll believe anybody's better than him to induct him. So
yeah, they'll probably have like Hunico do it or something. But,
yeah, maybe they'll kick him in the fucking face. But
all right, let's quickly talk about what we liked, what we didn't like about Raw, and then we will move along. So more Kane stuff, obviously. I see a lot of hate out there, and I think. A lot of people seem to be on the same page. I feel this way anyway. I like the Kane character. I like the evilness that he's doing, but I do not like the storyline at all. And I think it's just been – it seems like they're getting into a lot of that hokiness. And I mean, how do you feel about Zack Ryder's involvement? I don't know. I feel like they're putting him in positions to fail. I felt like the worst thing to happen to him was to get noticed and become like a main event star because now – it's almost like they're writing his stuff more than he's writing his own, and it's just forced. Like, he's just not – his delivery's not great. That all seems forced. And the stuff at the end with him changing the tires, he sits in the car.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
It's kind of stupid. So,
yeah.
And now they're saying that Zack Ryder's injured on WWE.com. This thing is, like, it's fucked up. So, obviously – well, I think it's part of the storyline. But
no, I know that. But, I mean, in storyline, does that mean they're gonna take away his title? I certainly hope not. Is that a way to appease the fans that they want to take the belt off him, but they think that if he doesn't actually lose, then the fans can't get mad? You know how those guys think. I'm upset because I feel like Cena's not in the storyline anymore. I feel like it's Zack Ryder and Edge. I mean, it's Zack Ryder and Edge. I wish Zack Ryder and Kane. I feel that Flair. Flair. Let's try to get that.
Calm down.
Get the whole name out of my head. Jesus.
You want to go take a cold shower? I'll review it.
No Andy Gibb, please. I feel like.
Oh, I didn't even think to play that.
We'll have to wait. We got a couple.
I'm out
months
of practice. That's why.
Yeah. I got a couple months to set that up. I feel like it's Kane and Zack Ryder. I feel like Cena's just kind of there to get his ass kicked. I almost feel like the feud is with Zack Ryder and not with Cena. And Cena's the
whole
side
thing has been kind of stupid. The whole reasoning that Kane gave was kind of weird. And
yeah,
I'm just not really getting to it. I know it's just a kind of a placeholder feud. So,
yeah.
And you know, to set him up for Mania, but I like Kane's energy. I like the character. I like the look. I like that he's kind of a monster again, but just the reasoning behind it is just kind of stupid. And then all the stuff where he's smothering him all the time with his gloves and everything.
That
is just
weird thing. That's like a mandible claw without fingers. Like, what is that?
I don't get it. It's just odd. So I'm not completely digging that. I guess we'll talk about the big thing. What'd you think of Brodus?
The Funkasaurus. I thought it was awesome. I love it because I think for once, as we're talking about storylines, I think for once the writers – the bookers and stuff threw us a swerve. No one expected, because everyone was thinking, oh, he's going to...
Oh, yeah, definitely not see that at all.
Yeah, monster heel who's just going to kill everybody. And all of a sudden, he comes out looking like a combination of Fat Joe and Heavy...
P.S., your cunt is in the sink!
Yeah, I'm sure you had nothing to do with it. You probably would have had him come out with your friggin' New Zealand flag. But, I mean, first off, I can't... You know why it's so great? Because over the last 48 hours or whatever, I can't get Ernest Miller's song out of my head.
Well, that was definitely the best part. I've always loved that song. And, of course, I always remember the... awesome. I think it was on SmackDown when Vince came out and danced to the song with him.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I liked it too because it's something different. Also, I see a lot of criticism out there, other podcasts, other pages saying everyone's so bland, everyone's so boring, and whether or not the character is going to stick or work, it's something different. You know, everyone, at least I feel this way. I don't know how you feel. I do miss a lot of the characters out there, and not everyone's going to be a big bruising brawler, evil man, and angry.
Yeah.
I mean, we have enough of that. You know what? Brodus Clay obviously threw his all into this. He looked like he was having a good time. His effort and excitement was kind of infectious. I think that's what won a lot of people over with it, that he was so into it. And the ridiculous things he was doing, the stuff he was yelling. I told you he was like a Punch-Out character.
Yeah.
when he was in there yelling like, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, should I kick him?
It was like a combination of like Bald Bull and like Super Macho Man or whatever.
Yeah, it's like someone played the new Punch-Out for Wii. Like that's exactly what he's from. So, I dug it. I think it's fine. I think he's going to be okay. I saw some people say that they don't think he'll survive this, but you know what? John Cena survived his early rapping gimmick. There's been a lot of guys that have survived things, and honestly, he may be the next Rikishi for all we know. Maybe this thing takes off. People get into it and it works. If he sells it like he believes in it and he's into it, it can work. So,
yeah, I agree.
I feel like I always pimp this guy, but Seth Mates had a lot of good takes on this as well. Why stuff like this can get over when the guys really work hard and put all their effort into it. I mean, look at Zack Ryder. Everyone got behind him, and a lot of his stuff was goofy. So,
yep.
You know, maybe Brodus Clay, is he going to draw millions of dollars in headline WrestleMania? No. Can he be a very over merchandise selling upper mid card, you know, big guy like Rikishi was? Sure, why not? And yeah. Rikishi made a lot of fans happy and entertained a lot of people in that year. So, and he still was taken legitimately, even when he was dancing and doing all that stuff. I mean, he'd do that 1 minute, and then the next minute he was dropping a splash off a cage on Val Venus, winning the IC title. So,
yep.
You know,
never know.
I think we'll see where it goes. We'll see. Hopefully, it's not. I'm really hoping it's not one of those things where he has a different gimmick every week or anything like that. I really hope they keep it. So. And I know we have some news on it later when we get to Wrestle Chat, but
he wrestled last night. So
I know in our spoilers, it didn't say. I'm curious. I haven't seen it anywhere. If he had the gimmick still, I'm hoping he did.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. I just saw that it said he beat somebody. I didn't see who the guy was, but
now of course also lost in all this was Curt Hawkins making his big Raw debut.
Did you? I got taken aback. Didn't he almost look like a Triple H 1995?
You know what? I was so mesmerized by Brodus Clay and so into doing our whole setting things up for the 100th episode. I didn't even realize it was him until I read the thing after. So I actually didn't even notice who he was beating on.
No, I swear to God, I looked at it at first and it looked like...
Yeah, maybe he's on the same career path. Maybe he'll be marrying Aurora Rose in 20 years.
Yeah, right. And if we got him booking and Triple H will have the suits on and everything. Oh, yeah, that'll be great. And... But yeah, it was great. The match was not much, but that's fine. The match didn't have to be much. It was supposed to be a squash. That's what it was meant to be, and that's the way it is. So I was excited. I love the open. I love the excitement. By the way, Naomi, former NXT.
And you know who the other one was?
Yeah, I don't know who the other one was, but
you don't know.
What the other? No, I didn't see who the other one. Who was the other one?
Ariane, the famous Tough Enough, Melina versus Alicia Fox.
Oh, was it really? Yeah. I didn't even catch that. Yeah. I only caught the other one was Naomi, who could kick that other one's ass. But you knew they were going to keep her around because she was good looking. She's just a dolt.
Who would have thought she'd be the first Tough Enough person to make it on? Luke Robinson and Andy Levine, all these other guys, and this fucking dope is on.
Really?
But it's kind of funny. It's almost like Flash Funk Redux. So they should bring him back and have him give him lessons.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love the character. He's got to get the dance steps down a little bit. He was a little kind of out of step in the beginning, but I think with time he'll do it. I think the crowd will get into it, and you need that.
Well, that song is so awesome anyway, so you can't not get into it.
Yeah, actually, Matt today played the clip. What was it? The 04 Rumble.
Yes. Yep.
When he came down, when the guy came down with the James Brown wig and all that shit. And
what the hell is that guy's name? Not Leon.
Oh shit! I thought it was Leon.
No, it wasn't Leon. That's from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh,
Jordan. Jordan or someone posted it on our Facebook page. Oh, Lamont.
Lamont. Yeah, that's right.
So.
So.
All right, elsewhere on Raw, Daniel Bryan continued to be booked pretty strongly. Went over Kofi Kingston in under 3 minutes clean.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're going to have that match again on SmackDown this week, him versus Show.
Except this time, no DQ, no count out.
Yep, no handy-dandies. So.
No handy-dandies and no Mark Henry and no no Vicky and no... No, I'm sorry, I think another match. Everybody's offering side. So, should be interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about it in a minute.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
But the matches were fine otherwise. The rest of the matches weren't too bad.
No, Punk kept strong, beat Jack Swagger. That kind of helped push along, of course. He was able to win that stip. So now with the Rumble, Vicky and Swagger are banned from ringside? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what I was thinking of when I heard banned from ringside. But yeah, that's it. What's this weird thing about? The only weird thing is about the whole thing where Swagger kicked out at 2. They made a really big point about that. I wonder if that's some kind of storyline hook Marty Funkhauser is not screwing you. See, he screwed Swagger that time, or things are going your way.
Yeah, or this be a loophole for Vicky to argue next week, and they'll do something else. Maybe it is something to get them to the next couple weeks till the Rumble. This little plot point, probably.
Yeah. So, but
what do you think of the R-Truth Miz stuff? Do you find it intriguing at all? I think it's been a little flop. Honestly, I think Ricardo Rodriguez has been the only highlight of this whole thing.
Yeah, he's been all right. I liked I think I could deal with R-Truth as like he's almost like the 2012 version of Waylon Mercy, kind of like this idiot savant talking to imaginary people. I kind of like, you know what? If it's all for them about making merchandise, I'm sure they'll be making Little Jimmy t-shirts and stuff like that. If it's going to make them money, then what do they care?
What have they done to my Miz, though?
Yeah, that's the only bad part. Did he piss somebody off, or do they think he's just...
I think he just maxed out his year. Like, I think they just kind of lost to them. I think he needs to go to SmackDown for next year and then come back to Raw. I know he's a good name. You want to have him on Raw, but he's someone that maybe could have a nice feud with Daniel Bryan after WrestleMania or something like that. I just think he needs a change of scenery. I think he's just kind of lost on Raw.
That's a good point, because if somehow Daniel Bryan survives through Mania and still is World Heavyweight Champion, and then we get to the draft, it's a perfect setup because you actually will have this feud for the title, and you got two guys who can't stand each other. You bring back a lot of bad blood and bad memories. It'll work out perfectly. I agree with you. I think a draft to SmackDown makes sense.
Yeah, he was so good for most of the year, and he's just ever since that turn on Truth, it's been kind of.
Yeah.
Blah. Honestly, ever since they got killed by Rock and Cena, he's kind of dead in the water. But
yeah,
I thought the La Cucaracha stuff was funny, only because Ricardo's energy. He's really good. I like him a lot. And of course, the last thing, Jericho again did the same thing as last week, only this time he cried and walked backstage crying. So I dug it. My wife was funny. She came in. She's like, "Is he leaving? Is he retiring?" I'm like, "He just came back." And she's like, "Well, why is he crying?" And I'm like, "I can't even know where to start to explain this to you."
no kidding.
I'm like, "He's kind of a good guy, but he's pretending he's not." And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know where to go with it." So
yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. I'm glad they did another week of the silence, and we'll see if they keep it right up until the Rumble or not, if they're going to have him start talking. But it's still good to see him every week.
Yeah. No, it is. At least he's hanging around and we'll keep things up and see at least he's there. Mm-hmm. It's another body, and we'll go from there. But I think people are just looking forward to actually seeing some matches now. And I like this, though, only because we have such a long way to go. What is it? 2 weeks? Well, I guess not. 2.5 weeks away from the Royal Rumble. So plenty of time still to build more feuds. And the only bad thing about this much time, or the only feud, is I think the Kane Cena stuff. I think they need to have the match like now. I don't know how much more they could do to.
What do we got? 2 more Mondays left?
Yeah, 2 more Mondays.
Yeah. They'll do something. Yeah, maybe they'll keep them apart. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's for them to figure out. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right, well, you heard our take on Raw. But now it is time for our weekly guests to join us and give us their breakdown of this week's show.
Good evening, everybody! How are you today? It's Mike and the Mad Dog, Monday Night Raw, Monday, January 9th, 2012. Chris Russo here, the Mad Dog, with my man Mike Francesa. Hi, Mikey, how you doing?
Hey, Dog, how you doing? Big week this week on Raw.
Big week in sports. A lot of New York stuff going on. Lot to talk about.
Lot to talk about, Mikey. Hall of Fame, Mikey. Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame stuff, Mikey. We'll do that first, Mikey. First off, what's an edge? I know Derek Jeter drives that. Your boy Jeter drives an edge. Now, the car's going to the Hall of Fame.
I thought he was the drummer of U2.
No, it's a guitarist. He's a guitarist, Mikey. The guitarist.
Are you sure? Hang on. Let me check that out.
I don't know. I thought the car
right. Was going to. You're right. Guitar.
Does that mean Jeter's car is going to the Hall of Fame, Mikey? Jeter's car is going to the Hall of Fame? The edge? Because he's got an edge? He says
Jeter's got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, dog.
Okay. Well, speaking of Hall of Fame, Mikey. What do you think? Barry Larkin and Mikey and Edge. Barry Larkin and the Ford Edge. What do you think? The Edge, Barry Larkin, will he drive into Cooperstown with the Edge? What do you think, Mikey?
Both very deserving. Barry Larkin. He's a Hall of Famer by my eye test. And Edge deserves to be in as well. I like Edge.
Well, you know, he's going to drive the Edge into the Hall of Fame. I like that. Barry Larkin, maybe it'll be a red Edge with, like, the Reds logo. You think Pete Rose will be in maybe he'll hide Pete Rose in the trunk, Mikey.
Let's not go down that road, dog.
Okay, all right, well, just to make sure. Now, what about who are these other guys? The Horsemen, Mikey, the Four Horsemen. Are we talking about Crowley and Stuhldreher? Is Rockne in the Hall of Fame, too? I don't understand. What are they, Notre Dame? I thought college guys don't go in the Hall of Fame, Mikey. What is this? Notre Dame guys going to the Hall
Ric
of Fame?
Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen, obviously deserve to be in. Legends, class acts. Tully Blanchett, Arn Anderson, Barry Windham, Ric Flair, Hall of Famers.
You know, Mikey, Tully Blanchett was a quarterback.
The Four Horsemen belong in the Hall of Fame.
He was a quarterback, Mikey. Tully Blanchard. He's a quarterback. Barry Windham was a receiver. You know, maybe kind of like Young and Rice. Young and Rice. You know, Young and Rice. Montana Rice. You know those guys. Anyway, Mikey, what do you think of this whole Kane Cena thing, Mikey? It's been booked better than Les Miles' offense. Les Miles' offense. You know, Kane. You know, Kane Cena. What do you think, Mikey? What do you think of this?
What are you doing with Kane? What's that? Zack Ryder's in there. I don't know, dog. I don't like it. Zack Ryder's a mid-carder. What's he doing in the main event, dog? Tell me.
I don't know, Mikey. I don't know, but it's running better than.
It doesn't make any sense.
He runs better on offense than Jordan Jefferson. All right, Mikey. We got to cut to the chase. These other two guys are like complaining in the back. All right. What do you think of the rating, Mikey? What do you think of the rating? Now, don't forget, Mikey. BCS Championship, Mikey. Monday night. What do you think? New Orleans. It's 3 weeks.
A lot of factors going into this show. Dolph Ziggler was not prominently involved. I like Ziggler. I like Dolph. Wasn't really in the show too much. I got to factor that into the rating. You had the national championship game in Louisiana between Alabama, LSU. A lot of action in New York. You had the Bachelor. All these other shows returning from their hiatus. I'm going to say 2-3 national, 2-5 New York.
2-9.
Oh, better than I thought, dog.
2-9. Down from 3-1. Mikey, just in case the BCS national championship did a 16.22, 24 million.
Not good, dog. Not good. I expected at least a 20 rating on that.
15% down, Mikey, from last year's game. 15% down. But anyway, Barry Larkin drives the Edge into the Hall of Fame. It's Mike and the Mad Dog. Mike and the Mad Dog. Monday Night Raw.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
What did you write their material? Derek Jeter in the Hall of Fame. Where'd that come from?
I have no part of that. They are on their own contract, completely separate from us.
Were you driving the Ford Edge into the Hall of Fame? And I like the Pete Rose hiding in the trunk. Isn't he already in the WWE Hall of Fame? I think he's happy with that. Anyway, just to help, just to kind of clarify what the two guys were saying, Raw did do a 2-9, down from a 3-1. 2-9-6 first hour, 2-7-7 second hour.
Yeah, there's on the blog they posted a breakdown. Actually, let me pull it up. All right. Basically, it comes down to Sheamus, Santino, Wade Barrett, Jinder Mahal, Brodus, Kurt Hawkins, Miz, Epico, Primo, Bellas, Ricardo, Cena, Ryder, R-Truth, Jericho, and Kane were all involved in segments that lost ratings. And Punk, Swagger, Cena, and Ziggler were all in the segments that gained ratings. But apparently, 10 o'clock time slot only got 128. 1,000 viewers and get a 3 rating, which I guess is not good for that time slot. And that was the Punk and Swagger around that time. So,
and they can't even blame the BCS because by then the game was pretty much toast. So I don't even think they could blame that. So I don't know. But anyway, let us go. Where was Raw, by the way? Anyway,
it was in
Corpus Christi.
Yeah,
somewhere in Texas.
So. Yeah,
yeah. Let's go now to the SmackDown taping. which took place in Laredo. We'll go through it very quickly. Guess what? Another dark match for former Nexus guy Skip Sheffield. So obviously,
yeah, it looks like he's definitely on the way back. You know, my favorite part of that was he won with a lariat. So that means they're going to keep him with a hopefully a badass kind of cowboy gimmick.
Yeah, maybe they'll make him like a jacked up Stan Hansen, except not blind. But okay. So here is the skinny on SmackDown. Daniel Bryan opens the show, is interrupted by Mark Henry. Henry's banned from ringside for tonight's World Heavyweight title match, but Henry wants a title shot on next week's SmackDown. Justin Gabriel defeated Heath Slater. Boy, the Wendy's kid, he's really falling off the... I think he's slowly reaching Trent Barreto levels.
That's fine, though. Like, we've talked about this. That guy, you look at him, he's not going anywhere. Use him for this. Use him to put over talent as a jobber of the stars. He's known enough. That's fine. Guys like him, Hawkins, Mahal, you know, I think Tyson Kidd deserves better, but right now he's in that position as well. Mm. You need those guys, so I'm fine with it.
Okay. Cody Rhodes beat Zeke. I haven't seen him on camera in a while. Ezekiel Jackson before the match.
I don't know. She's just acting real funky.
You know, you might be in the Hall of Fame eventually if you remember how to get there, unless you're sleeping next to it. Ted DiBiase beat Drew McIntyre. Hunico was on commentary. Good, that must have been, must have been interesting to listen to. Was on commentary during the match. Sheamus beat, guess who? Jinder Mahal. David Otunga actually won a match. He beat Santino Marella, which is kind of unfortunate. Yeah, maybe it's a battle of management assistants. Brodus Clay did come back. He did wrestle on SmackDown. He beat Tyson Kidd, sorry, in a squash. But it doesn't mention like changes or anything. It just said that he won the match. So you'll have to watch Friday night on Sci-Fi. If the, I think it would be cool if he wrestles Monday nights in a red jumpsuit and then wrestles on Friday nights in a blue jumpsuit. That would be pretty funny.
Thanks,
man! You're
saying
does he still write the column for WWE.com?
I don't know.
Well, the other one can't read, so.
Very angry.
yeah. Tamina, who seems to be on a tear, she beat Natalya, but we don't know what side she's on. I'm assuming she's a babyface if she's beating Natalya.
Yeah.
Wade Barrett comes out, talks about winning the Royal Rumble. He announces he will go against Sheamus on next week's show. Then in the main event, AJ Lee, of course, Daniel Bryan's on-screen girlfriend and former NXT contestant, comes out for the main event. AJ went down in the match from Big Show. I don't know how. I don't know if he landed on her, or I don't know what the hell happened. But she had to be taken out on a stretcher by medics, and then the match just ended.
Hmm.
So another vague, innocuous ending to the title match. So obviously this is leading towards the two of them wrestling at the Rumble.
Right.
In some capacity. We don't know what, but... Do you think they're burning this feud too much now, though? You think like all these SmackDown matches are ruining it?
No, because I think they'll do the three-way at the Rumble, and then they'll move on from there.
Okay. So there's your SmackDown. Obviously, we gave you the skinny on it. If you want to actually, obviously, it's on Friday night on Sci-Fi. And I'll tell you something, it's Sci-Fi's best show, so maybe they shouldn't complain. You know?
I agree. Yeah, I think they're okay.
Yeah. Interesting. I want to ask you something, though. I was talking with Dr. G about this earlier today. We were talking about the tone of USA, because he was talking about what happens with the network, which we'll get into that in a second, and, you know, Raw and stuff. And you and I said about the tone of shows on Raw. He kind of agreed, but do you still believe that for both networks, Raw on USA and SmackDown on Sci-Fi, that the tone of the shows is changed? Well, Sci-Fi is different because all the shows on that network are not going to match wrestling anyway. But do you think that the tone of the shows on Raw has changed? Like, you think the days of Silk Stockings and you know, and La Femme Nikita and all that fit Raw better than the shows on Raw now on USA now? Do you think? I don't know what you're laughing at. You don't get any ad revenue money, so I don't know what you find funny.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, the shows back then were kind of campier and almost like trashy soap kind of shows, and now it's more legitimate dramas and kind of comedy dramas like Psych and those shows. But
yeah. Well, White Collar seems to do pretty well. Is that what it's called, White Collar?
Yeah, a lot of Burn Notice. I think a lot of their shows do well.
Yeah.
And I know Psych just got picked up for another season. So, I mean, I don't know, I guess. I don't think anything's ever really meshed with wrestling, honestly. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously SmackDown, you can't, you know, SmackDown is never going to fit with, you know, Sci-Fi. But, I don't know. Anyway, there's your SmackDown spoilers. You obviously can check the show out Friday night on Sci-Fi for details and see. Hopefully the Brodus Clay character didn't change. Mm-hmm. I just hope he comes out with a blue jumpsuit to match SmackDown. That'd be pretty funny. Okay. Why don't we dive in now to our usual pre-break segment, which is, of course, an update on the WWE Network. And before we get into the – well, you know what?
I don't do any tricks.
Well, you got some time to practice because the network's not starting for a while. Let me read this. Let me read our first story, and then I'm gonna give us a big win. The WWE Network delay has been confirmed as several key people involved were told this past week. Nobody knows the new launch date yet, but people were told to get rid of all April 1st mentions. Word going around at Raw was that it will launch in the fall. Vince McMahon is looking to get more legends involved with the network and has reportedly reached out to people who in the past he wouldn't have.
A How reality many are there that he wouldn't have reached out to? Bruno? I mean, everyone else he's talked to.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, maybe, I don't know. I mean, Jerry Jarrett?
I guess. I mean, it's obviously not Hogan.
No. I don't know. Backlund?
I guess. I don't know. This is kind of a weird note. Yeah. Cryptic.
A reality show, presumably Legends House.
Maybe? I don't know.
We'll begin filming soon and will go for 21 weeks, including post-production.
Love it.
The house will be in the Palm Springs area, and 10 episodes will be shot.
Be shot at Matt Papasilli's house.
That's right. All right. For those that listened to episode 95 of the Place to Be podcast, which, of course, involved us opening up the vault and talking about the innocuous in your house number one, we did, however, open the show by myself breaking the big news that the WWE Network, based on my deep throat information from my internal facility, that the WWE Network is launching in September. And I got an internal email from our company saying that those interviewing for jobs within the company and blah, blah, blah. But the point is it's not launching at WrestleMania. We broke it on Friday. We put it on Graham. We put it on. I don't think we put it on Twitter, but we put it on the Facebook
page.
Well,
I tweeted it at WrestleChat, a couple other people. So it was out there. And I made sure we got it out there just so we had backup.
Yep.
So people didn't think that we were just kind of jumping on the gravy train afterwards. But I was proud of us and you for, you know, putting it out there. And I really didn't see it anywhere until I think Sunday it started leaking out on Insider. And then after that, it kind of came out. But I was proud that we had that story before anyone else. And we've kind of been on top of the network stuff anyway. And, you know, I'm not pegging us as any kind of legitimate news source or insiders of any type. But because Lord knows we've actually been accused of that. But I like the I like that we had a little bit something. That was kind of our little thing we had.
Yep, I agree. And then you and I were watching Raw together Monday, and they played the network promo, and all it said was 2012. So, and now the next story. The folks at PW Insider, Dave Scherer and those guys who were incredibly unhappy at times, are reporting that the word on Raw was that WWE will be pushing the debut of the network back several months until the fall of 2012. We can also report here at WrestleChat, our good friends obviously helping us out here, that we heard the same thing exclusively last Friday, that the launch would be pushed back until October.
They gave us they didn't put our name in there or anything, right?
No, but they said exclusively last Friday. Of course, they got the month wrong, but that's okay. Until October at the earliest. So exclusively last Friday, that's us. PTB Nation, that's us. That's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Should be proud of that.
I'm proud of our boys at WrestleChat giving us a shout-out. They didn't
I appreciate that, too. Thank you, Jeff Peck and Eric Gargiulo and the others that work for WrestleChat. This is actually Brett Glenn Daniel that posted this story. So thank you, Brett. The reason for the pushback is that the company just won't have the infrastructure needed in place by the originally planned launch date of April 1st to tie it into WrestleMania weekend. It was described to me as a decision, me meaning Brett, the one that wrote the story, as a decision the company didn't want to make, but the one they had to make for the long-term good of the network's viability, which is exactly right. While April 1st was the original planned launch, the company never officially announced it to the public. Well, they did put it on the Didn't they put it on the promos? Didn't they put April 1st on the promos?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely on before.
Yeah. We were told – I was also told – and you and I were right about this. My muckety-muck said that they were going to do a soft launch in February. But as I've been saying, my client in our company, the CBS Sports Cable Network, which, by the way, got Jim Rome, we're both –
phenomenal.
Yep, we'll both be on. We're right next door to each other in the building, our master control facilities. Their building, their room was ahead of ours. They got carpeting. Their consoles were put in everything, and now it's just stopped. The lights are out, and they stopped working in there. And now they're
it's like
they're,
Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Exactly. Down. Yep. Shuts down. All the Oompa Loompas hit the basement.
I have to do a Jim Rome reviews raw because I think my Rome is much better than my Francesa. So maybe we'll do Rome and the Mad Dog.
Okay. And our room is now being worked on. I don't think we're going in there until May. But anyway, I just, you know, I appreciate WrestleChat backing us up, and I'm very happy about that. Next tidbit, and this actually comes from the promo that aired on Monday on Raw. WWE plugged their countdown show during Raw last night for the new WWE Network. The show will be similar to ESPN's Sports Nation show and reportedly titled Livewire or Countdown. So they'll do the top 10 something. Top 10 WrestleManias, top 10 what, SummerSlams, top 10 main events, like, you know, things like that. Top 10 gimmicks, top 10 belts. They should do some funny ones too, you know.
That'd be cool if they bring back the Livewire name.
That'd be very cool. Maybe they'll bring back Sunny to co-host it. Although there's rumors she's getting married, moving to Indiana, but, you know, it'd be cool if they brought her back. Maybe they'll bring Todd back. He needs a job. Wonder if he'll want to get some extra money.
Stephanie Wyatt.
Joe, that was that guy you saw on that Superstars episode.
That was weird, man.
Joe, whatever the hell his name was.
I know every obscure everything from, you know, the early 90s, and that guy I did not fucking remember.
It'll get Joel Fowler to come back, too. Maybe we can pimp some $70 denim jackets or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, if anyone who is interested in early 90s superstars, I have a thread up on our board, Bigelow34ProWords.com, where I just kind of watch them online. And it's not really a review. It's more of a stream of consciousness, little notes. But the episode from October 31st, I think it was, 92, was insanity. So many debuts and major happenings. Check out the little review and then maybe try and find the episode. It was pretty crazy, that episode.
That was a crazy episode. Usually they don't have cool matches. What was that? Money Inc. and...
Yeah, Money Inc. regaining the titles for Natural Disasters. That was Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels with the mirror. And a Doink debuted. Yokozuna debuted. That new interviewer showed up. And there was a couple other things, too, on there. It was a wild episode.
They even slipped a new interviewer by you. You didn't even realize that. That's funny. Anyway, our final note on the network. WWE Hall of Famer Rowdy Roddy Piper, the Hot Rod, who was confirmed for the network's upcoming Legends House reality series, commented on the show on Twitter, Legends House, bottom line, I sleep alone. That's right, Iron Sheik will be. Somebody will be spooning next to him. Maybe Orton. It'd be great if him and Orton were in a room together and they just do like the pit from the bedroom. put up sheets, have the guys come in and do like fake show. It'd be pretty funny. But maybe I'll put some mattresses.
I'm excited. I think that show is going to be whacked. So I'm looking forward to that show, actually.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like the fact that they're going to have, because I mean, the other shows are going to be straight up wrestling and, you know, old school stuff like Nitros and things like that. It's good to have some kind of alternative, goofy, weird thing that may open things, because there's a lot of reality fans out there. And I know a lot of people that are fans of Big Brother, which is in essence what this is. And I think, you know, people may hop onto it. So it might be fairly interesting. So anyway, there's your update on the network. And, you know, we'll keep you tabs on it over the next coming weeks. But obviously, you know, news may slow down now that we won't be seeing it launch for at least. But the big question is to you, my PIC, what does this mean for 24/7?
Well, we know it's at least around through the end of March because that was the original plan. I still have it on Verizon. I know some people lost it. I'm hoping they extend it. It would kind of suck not to have anything for those, you know, over the summer or whatever. I'm probably going to need it during those late night feedings. So it'll finally give me a chance to catch up on all the crap I've taped for the last 6 years. So we'll see. You know, I love my 24/7, so I'm hoping it stays.
As I do as well. As usual, I have, for motivation of our podcast, I have a tape rolling in the background. So little Nitro action. It's like Bash at the Beach. It's like July. Hogan and Rodman, Luger and the Giant. There you go. All right. Before we go to break, why don't we do part two of JR's and my 2011 year in review?
You know what? I'm actually thinking maybe we should hold off because we're actually running a little bit long, and I think we still got a lot to talk about.
Okay, we'll hold off on it then. All right, well, then let's take a break. And when we come back, we will do the news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat. Because...
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Beck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
We'd like to thank our good friends at WrestleChat for backing us up. We appreciate that very much.
You know what I want to start doing during that promo? I'm going to get like giant holograms and turn the lights off in the room I'm in and have the big pictures of Hogan and Luger and the Giant up on the up on the walls, like the building.
And Horace.
No, that wasn't Horace. He wasn't in the open. Talking about the open on Nitro.
Oh, the actual Nitro. I was thinking about, are you going to be in the limo with Luger and Sting?
No. But... I'm talking about the open. Remember they used to have the guys up on the buildings?
Yep. I just watched it a second ago. Yes.
Yeah. Well.
And I like the fact that even though he was in the middle of the NWO, they didn't take Hogan's red and yellow off the fucking intro for like a year.
I know. Yeah. I think it was even longer than that, honestly. I think it was always up till the end.
Well, this episode that I have on in the background now is July 97. And it was still in there, so it's crazy. Okay. I think it's funny too, Art. You're quite right. WrestleChat.net, your home for everything pro wrestling. WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor. Speaking of, I have a surprise for you, my friend. I didn't want to tell you beforehand, but I've held it from you all week. It is official. Dr. G and I are going to the 10th anniversary show.
All right.
We are
You're
going to
set it up with Greenhouse?
I'm going to set up a greenhouse. I'm going to talk to my man, Johnny Reckless, see if he'll go. It's right up. We are going to get some guys.
Get the Faf Man involved?
We'll see if we get the Faf Man. I'm going to get a little action here. See if we can get some guys to come down. I don't know what tickets I'm going to pay for, but Greenhouse or Matt Davis told me that the $10 seats at the Manhattan Center are actually not bad.
Yeah, get the cheapies so you can get them all. Before you buy them, find out who's going so you can all sit together.
Yeah, we'll try and get a crew together And I think Dr. G would like to meet some of these guys. I think he could use.
I
want to
meet them. I'm gonna be very sad that day.
Well, we're gonna represent.
What is it? Is that the 31st?
What the? No, it's the 4th.
Oh, the 4th, March 4th.
March 4th. Yeah, you're. If on time, your daughter will be what?
Yeah, that'll be way too.
2 weeks
soon.
Old.
I was thinking it was the end of March. Yeah, no go.
Nah. But anyway, WrestleChat.net. Those guys are trying to do a setup at the show. But anyway, they have a great message board. Of course, their awesome podcast. Of course, the PTB Gnome is on the right. Click on it. You can listen to us. And just to talk about that show, it is indeed Sunday, March 4th at the Manhattan Center.
You make sure you get in touch with the WrestleChat people, too, now. You got a lot to do here.
Yeah.
You usually don't do this much work with this stuff, but you're gonna have a lot to prepare yourself for.
Well, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to confirm that Dr. G will go. He said he wanted to. He said he's going to buy the tickets. But so we're going to do that, and I'm going to talk to the local guys and see what we can come up with, and then talk to the guys at WrestleChat. I think it'll be a lot of fun. 4 o'clock's bell time, which is good. It's not a late night.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be a late night.
We'll have to find someone, if they got Wi-Fi in the Manhattan Center, that has an iPhone. We can FaceTime the whole time so I can see everyone.
Yes. That'd be funny. Do a show from the back row. So anyway, it is Sunday, March 4th from the Manhattan Center, Ring of Honor's 10th anniversary show. And I'm excited. Obviously, no car. Let me do a quick check here. ROHWrestling.com is their site. Let me take a look and see if there's any.
We'll have to send a text over to Eddie Edwards. Maybe you can meet up with him, too.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know. I wonder, you think John will go?
No, probably not. I think he's in Florida right now.
Okay. They have a new logo. Their logo's new. Did you see it? It's kind of got this. It's kind of like the Goldberg thing. Anyway, March tickets start at $15 each for general admission, upper balcony seating, which consists of the entire second balcony. General admission, lower balcony seating is also available. Blah, 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 blah. So tickets for the March 4th, 4 o'clock start. Tickets are not refundable, blah, blah, blah. The talent lineup is subject to change. But I'm thinking, 10th anniversary of this company, you got to think that.
I'm sure they go all out.
And you know there's going to be guys that will show up. Samoa will show up.
You have to do a live report for Graham as well, because he's starting a Ring of Honor section.
Yes, I will have to do a live report, yes.
Make a list.
I'm hoping to meet. I'm hoping to meet Graham in August, because the other thing that I've been talking about is Dr. G and I. He seems to be very positive about wanting to go to the Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte in August. So, anyway, WrestleChat. Instead of talking about my vacation plans, WrestleChat.net, your home for everything pro wrestling. So let's dive into the news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. This is from the champ. After discussing Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble, which, of course, is in his hometown in St. Louis, WWE Creative talked about having someone else win it this week. Chris Jericho, PIC, is in the running to win the Rumble main event, since he's likely going to be challenging CM Punk for the WWE title.
Well. I believe your boy's been saying that for, 2 months now?
You have? You
sticking by it.
Okay.
Caved a little bit when I started reading the Orton stuff, but I just felt like this had Jericho winning written all over it from the start. Especially now, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't even talk until he wins the Rumble, then comes out the next night and finally speaks.
It's entirely good. Entirely possible. As anticipated, the internal reaction to Brodus Clay's debut at Raw was positive. Officials felt that the gimmick got over. Somebody call my mama. And I'm telling you, if he comes out, if we watch SmackDown Friday night, he comes out in a blue jumpsuit to match to match
get
SmackDown.
Hopes up, but...
That'd be pretty cool. I might be thinking too much about it. But anyway, it seemed like the gimmick got over well. I think people were a little bit thrown off at first, but
Like I said, he put the effort in. He was exciting. He obviously bought into it. To me, that's the key.
Yes. Next story, and this one is really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. ESPN's financial expert Michelle Steele tweeted on Tuesday that John Cena, in retail value to WWE, is worth $106 million.
Okay, well, I guess that puts a rest. I know there are some people out there that don't buy the whole he's a merchandise guy, he sells a lot of merchandise, and drives business. But I guess the proof's in the pudding there. And this may shoot down my theory that he's going to turn heel after Mania, because they may be afraid to mess with this if it's true.
Yeah. No further details were given to explain Cena's direct impact on WWE's business, but the figure likely includes John Cena merchandise and an estimate of Cena's impact on pay-per-view buy rates, live event ticket sales, and an ad revenue from programming featuring him. What that kind of money rolling in do too, it's understandable how WWE would be hesitant turning him heel and disrupting a formula that is working very well. But money never seemed to faze them. That's the other thing that bugs me. But
I think now it does.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. This is a great piece of news for both you and I, because we've talked about this guy being Hall of Famer all the time, and he absolutely, undoubtedly deserves it. According to Steve Carrier of RingsideNews.com, being announced as an inductee – I was wondering if you have his music ready. Probably not. I was going to ask you, but – as an inductee into the 2012 WWE Hall of Fame. One of your – I like him a lot, but this is like one of your guys, because 93 to 97 was like your era. And we're talking about former World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion Yokozuna. I'd love to see him go in.
Yeah, he deserves it. I mean, he has crapped on for not being one of the best guys in the ring. We've heard big guy, I thought he was. And I think anyone who kind of grew up right in the midst of that era kind of has fond memories of him. Maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe it's just me. I liked him as champion. I thought he was a good heel champion during a time where they didn't really have long heel champions.
Yep.
I thought he was a good heat magnet. I enjoyed him during that run. I thought his tag team with Owen as well was pretty good throughout 95, as we're talking about now in the vault. So,
right.
He deserves it as much as anyone else, I guess, to go in. So.
Absolutely. In addition to his legacy in WWE, remember, two-time world champion, two-time tag champion, and he won the 93 Rumble. It's also wrenching that his real name, of course, Rodney NOI. Of course, we all know NOI is a very well-known last name. He is The Rock's cousin. And a part of course, the Samoan family of wrestling.
Now, who do you think they have Rock induct him?
Yeah.
Or maybe he accepts on his behalf.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to accept on his behalf. Yeah. Maybe they'll bring back Rikishi.
I was thinking that, too. Either him or they get the Usos. Well, the Usos are his kids, right?
The Usos are Rikishi's kids.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's probably in good terms with them. I bet he comes in and does it. I wouldn't be shocked.
The Rock will be announced to the 2012 Hall of Fame class. Well, speculation, but not confirmed.
I can also see Rikishi... showing up at Mania and doing a little dance, him, Dusty, and Brodus Clay or something, doing a little dance segment backstage. You know, they always do those goofy little segments.
And last year's was good up until that one last year with the little talent show was good for a little while. But and as for Rock making the Hall, we're just going to leave that alone, because who the hell knows. This next story I'm half happy about, half not happy about. WWE will be going back to 12 pay-per-views this year. They reportedly have decided to nix the second October pay-per-view, Vengeance. This means there will be several weeks of build between the Hell in a Cell and Survivor Series. I'm happy about this because one less pay-per-view is good. I'm not happy because they should have dumped the Hell in a Cell and kept Vengeance.
Yeah.
In my opinion. There is two pay-per-views in April. Obviously, WrestleMania on April 1st and Extreme Rules, I think, is the 29th. Did you notice now, of course, without the network... Bragging Rights on June 17th is now a pay-per-view. Remember, it was supposed to be on the network.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So, but since there'll be no network, there'll now be a pay-per-view.
So it's not Money in the Bank still, right? Is that on there?
Money in the Bank is July.
Okay, so the Money in the, so I'm guessing we're not going to see it at Mania then.
We're not going to see it at Mania, it seems like, now. No. Okay. Next one. Oh, boy. We alluded to this earlier, but now it's time to talk. This will be the first time WWE has ever inducted someone contracted to a rival promotion into their hall. Sources indicate that Triple H called Ric Flair on January 9th before Raw aired and informed him of the Horseman induction. Flair was at the TNA Impact tapings in Orlando. It appears key people in TNA weren't aware of the induction until it aired on Raw. As of January 10th, no officials in TNA had spoken to Flair about it. Ric Flair and Vince McMahon do talk, so the idea of inducting the Horseman was likely brought up in the past. It's been discussed internally ever since WWE made amends with J.J. Dillon, and Arn Anderson alone was expected for the Hall of Fame in Atlanta last year.
Right.
WWE wants Flair to be there and likely wants him to be involved in the network when it launches.
He'll be there. He'll get out.
Yeah. If I was TNA, buy him out. Just get it. He's not doing anything for you guys. Just let him out. Get him. Let him go. You're sinking anyway. Who cares? To be honest with you. Buy him out.
I don't know about that. I think they're doing okay. But I think Flair, you know, he's not a guy you want around when he's not into what he's doing. So yeah. If he's not into it and he wants to be at the Hall of Fame and he wants to be in back in WWE, he's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And you know what? They've actually been, I'll give them credit. They've been pretty accommodating when it comes to this stuff. They let Nash go to go to the Rumble. Remember, he said, I want out. I want to go back. And they let him go.
Yeah. Yep.
And they were going to let Foley show up at the Rock, at the Raw with the Rock. Remember that whole thing? He asked, yep. And Dixie Carter said yes. So, you know, they seem pretty accommodating. Now, will Vince be okay with it if Flair's still with TNA? Will they have him come? Probably. I don't think he really cares enough, to be honest. So,
no, I think
Flair's going to be there. I think it'll just depend how much they promote him based on where he's at. If he's still with TNA, they may not go overboard with involving him with everything, but he'll be there. But if he's back in the fold, obviously he'll be all over the place.
Well, I mean, for me personally,
they're gonna have him in the fucking Legends House. That's what I know. They have to have him in that thing. Oh, Piper in the Legends House,
running around with his robe and his underwear on.
Yeah, they're gonna have him there.
Oh, be awesome. But him not being in the hall, him not being there, just won't feel the same. He's got to be there for all of us diehard Horseman fans, including you and I. So,
and speaking of Legends House, have you read that Medusa, Alundra Blaze, wants another run? She sells the belt. She said she wants to come in and kind of close things out with her career by coming back.
Do it.
Think they should stick her in the Legends House as punishment for walking out and let Flair friggin' molest her every week.
But then she should come out.
I do not condone that at all.
And then she should come out and attack Beth Phoenix and have another feud. Why not? She's probably still in decent shape. Why not? Better than having to watch the goddamn Bellas every week making asses out of themselves. Okay. Speaking of Horsemen, former WCW star Lex Luger told the Busted Open radio show that he will be in attendance for the Hall of Fame this year to see the Four Horsemen get inducted, as he is a former Horseman. Luger said he does not feel snubbed that WWE chose Barry Windham over him. Well, he shouldn't be. Windham was a better wrestler. Sorry.
All right. I'm going to break in my own little news segment here.
Okay.
Our man, Derek LaRue, just sent me a message, a link on 411 Mania. They released a heat map of where Cena is loved and hated. So hang on, I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if red is. All right, give the next story.
No problem. Well, we were talking about venues a minute ago. WWE, of course, announcing Edge for this year's Hall of Fame in Miami would indicate that Toronto will not host WrestleMania 29 next year. Toronto has been discussed, but news came out today that Dallas, Texas, and of course Cowboys Stadium in Arlington is being considered for next year. The idea would be to use Steve Austin, Brock Lesnar, and perhaps The Undertaker's retirement as the big outside draws. Toronto was expected to see Trish Stratus and Edge go into the hall next year if it hosted WrestleMania. And obviously Trish will go back in.
Yeah, she'll go in at some point.
She'll go in at some point.
All right, I figured it out. So red means he's cheered, blue means he has been booed. Okay. Predominantly, and I will be posting this on the Facebook page as well. Asia, Europe, Australia, and Alaska. He's all cheered. Hawaii as well. Mexico, cheered mainly. U.S. is where it gets a little shaky. The West Coast and Southwest, it looks like he's mainly been cheered. All the way up into the Dakotas and to Texas. Middle America, a little bit, he's been booed. Utah, Nebraska, Oklahoma. Been booed in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, Maryland, New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Mass, and then Maine, he was cheered, and then Connecticut's half and half. So pretty interesting. And they have the percentages broken down as well, boos and cheers by arena. So pretty interesting stuff, courtesy of Derek.
So I wonder if can you look at Connecticut? Is like the half where I live, the boos, and the half above us, the cheers?
No, they have they have a percentage, but the thing is kind of small. Hang on.
Curious, since I live on the New York end of Connecticut, if we're the boos, because, you know, New York.
Connecticut looks like it's about 55-45 boos.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
I'm wrong, actually. Rhode Island is red. Mass and Rhode Island are red. I apologize. So they're cheered.
Oh,
75-25 pro.
Oh, aren't you a happy bunch?
Not like the reaction Savage gets. That's all I know.
Or Brett. Brett, you guys always.
Did you notice we get a little love on? They did the 94 Rumble memories, and the first clip of Savage coming out, and like Vince saying how much he's loved in Rhode Island or whatever.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Did they show Jim behind the screen?
He's hiding.
Crying while he was looking at Marty Jannetty's ass. Okay. All right. We move on to our next story. People close to Evan Bourne say the stories about him having heat because of R-Truth suspension and the two drug test failures were unrelated. Regarding last week's story, one claim is that it was Bourne who went to Triple H and apologized for failing the drug test, not Triple H confronting Bourne.
Hmm.
And by the way, this week, there was another story. I wonder if we have it here. Now, let me check. Is it on our list? I could tell by the – no. Incidentally, another story. This week is the first Tuesday that Kofi Kingston said he's had off, and he doesn't know how long.
Yeah, I saw that.
No air boom on SmackDown this week. So, okay. Next, another WrestleMania tidbit. Just waiting for the page to load. Word is that basketball legend and current TNT announcer Diesel, not Kevin Nash, talking about, of course, Shaquille O'Neal, is either very close to signing or has already signed a deal for WrestleMania 28. WWE Creative has been told to come up with ideas for him. If you remember, he was like one of the better Raw guest hosts. His show, that was one in, was that
yeah,
Cleveland?
Well,
right?
From what I had saw, I thought he's fighting Big Show, so.
Yeah. Regarding the next big thing, of course, speaking of Brock Lesnar, nobody has been told to come up with anything for him, and when one person asked Vince McMahon that if Lesnar did come in, would Paul Heyman be part of the package, Vince said Heyman wouldn't.
Nah, whatever. Can't take anything he says seriously.
Yeah, the feeling is that if any talks are happening between WWE and Lesnar, or as Paul used to call him, Brock Lesnar, it would be kept very quiet and Creative would be kept out of the loop until the time is right.
He's another guy. I don't see why you would waste him on this Mania. This Mania, to me, and I was actually arguing with this with Matt Davis last night, because he said that he thought if they can get Austin, they should have him on. But I don't think they should have Austin or Lesnar on this WrestleMania. Rock is going to be the drawing card. You're not going to add many more buys in addition to that. Anyone you're going to hook, I think you've hooked with the Rock match. So I would save those guys for a year where you're going to need them more.
Mm, I agree. Let's just get the guys that are here now, get Shaq Daddy in if he's going to face Big Show, and let it be. Because if they are going to do 29 next year in Big D, you know, that place seats.
That's where maybe you do your Austin match.
That's what I think. And also, you're talking about not only the regular seats, but floor seats. You're looking at almost 110,000 people
yeah.
next year. That's
where you do your Austin match, right in the heart of Texas.
Exactly. Finally, this interesting side note. Republican Rick Santorum, who's, of course, one of the Republican candidates for president in the primaries, did not win the Iowa caucuses. He didn't win New Hampshire either. But he's not doing too bad. Is in the news this weekend. And his past with WWE is being brought up. He actually did legal work and did lobbying for WWE years ago, which I find kind of interesting. He's also a big wrestling fan. And one of his 2006 Senate campaign ads, he's from Pennsylvania, had a pro wrestling theme to it. So, a cute little tidbit. There's another story I'm not going to bring up. Something I read about Linda McMahon and plagiarism or some weird thing. I'm not going to get into it here. But obviously, we won't hear much about Linda for next few months because the Senate race won't heat up at least for another few months, probably to like May or June. So, but anyway, there's our news and notes, and a lot of stuff going to be happening now. And we're 2.5 weeks from the Rumble. And then we got Elimination Chamber, and then we really start to kick in. So, be very interesting to see what happens. Very interesting to see what happens. But we'll have more to get on over time involving Hall of Fame. And you think they'll do another one this week, or you think they'll take some time off?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
I'm curious too. We'll see what happens if they do another announcement this week. So, all right, it is time now on episode 96, Place to Be Podcast, of the best interactive podcast segment of all.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
At grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
Okay, we got a huge cachet of nominees this week.
Bounce back from last week.
Yes, last week our winner was... wasn't the Jets, although you got a lot of votes for it. Don't have to have a new. We have to have a new board. Greenhouse. New
I know
board.
What the fuck. You're supposed to keep on top of this greenhouse.
I know. Jeez. One thing. Come on.
Honestly, right. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I don't remember. Either. But anyway, okay. Do I have to read this?
The newest member of PTB Nation.
That's right. El Gigante, who will of course make his presence felt later on in the week. He says J. Arsenio D'Amato is the asshole of the week.
Not a surprise.
No, of course not.
Corey Ferreira, whoever came out with the Brodus Clay gimmick, where I saw him come out in Raw, I was doing, what the fuck is all this? Build him come back as a killer, and now he's out there dancing with Ernest the Cat Miller's theme.
Oh, come on, don't be such a cynic, Corey. J. Arsenio D'Amato comes back with El Gigante's father for not pulling out 35 years ago. Is that how old he really is?
This is quite the feud between Jay and El Gigante. And I heard through the grapevine, you know, I think Jay's going to pick up that punk card. I think he's going to answer the challenge. I think they're going to have their showdown on PTB 100.
You got folks, don't miss it. Don't miss it. I tell you, it's going to be amazing. Todd Weber said, all right, go ahead, Todd Weber.
Yeah, Todd Weber. Whoever thought up the Mike and the Mad Dog parody, nobody here in Sacramento knows who those guys are. I had to look it up on Google. East Coast bias.
Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to do, I don't know, who the hell over there? Rome? Well,
who gives a fuck? No one knows anyway. California,
yeah.
Who cares?
And you know what? Sacramento, I won't stay, but I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings in May.
Yeah, the Lakers may beat the Kings in March, but I don't think either team's going to be playing in May this year.
No, probably not. One of our newest and more loyal members of the PTB Nation, my man Severio DeFazio. WWE are my assholes this week because SmackDown was not good last week at all. What the fuck? Plus having Cody bury Booker's finisher was the only good thing that came out of it. And also for getting my hopes up about the network launch. By the way, please get Michael Cole off TV, please. He's starting to act like Jonathan Coachman 2003. Oh, one more note to J. Arsenio D'Amato. You leave El Gigante alone. That's my tag team partner.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Place to be podcast. Justin Rosero checks in. Todd, my answer to your bitching. Who the fuck cares about Sacramento?
Todd Weber, certainly not the great one, as I indicated earlier.
J. Arsenio D'Amato, I may take a train, I may take a plane. How do you people live there? You must be insane.
You must insane. Be insane. Of course, we're quoting, for those that may not know what we're talking about.
They know.
Yeah, they probably do. The week before WrestleMania 19, Rock did the Rock concert in Sacramento, and it might have been one of the, if not the, one of the five greatest Raw segments of all time. What was the line he told Stone Cold? What are you, selling bootlegging t-shirts out in the parking lot?
Yeah,
or
bootleg out t-shirts of the Rock.
Okay, Jordan Duncan, when Andre the Giant and I had pancakes, the BCS, the BCS for having an SEC rematch as the title game when just 5 years ago people insisted that Ohio State-Michigan couldn't happen for the very same reason. We can talk about the BCS for quite a long time. He backs it up with second nominee, that dude in Indiana that is currently sleeping with his own grandma.
Don't talk about Jason Greenhouse like that. All right.
Yeah, really.
Matt Souza, let's give it to Brendan Shanahan for suspending Marshawn on the hit on Salo gave me a break. The Canucks hit the Bruins with some pretty nasty shots, too, and no suspension for any of them. Excuse me, but Matt Cook was not suspended when he laid out Savard. Why was Marshawn suspended for this? We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit, too. Speaking of the guy who sleeps with his grandmother, Jason Greenhouse, WWE creative.
Let's not start that rumor.
Yeah, no, let's not. No. WWE creative for Brodus' new gimmick. Flash Funk called, he wants the Funkettes back. Oh, come on, guys.
Another one of our loyal readers, actually. She's a big fan of the reviews on the board. Heather Despain and Ashley Cruz. Vince Russo for seemingly ghostwriting Raw this week.
Oh, interesting. Matt Mars, Brodus Clay situation. What was that? It was kind of funny when he said, my bad, during the match. Otherwise, just bizarre.
Jay Hinchy, the Falcons, for only putting up a safety against the Giants. By the way, Brodus Clay's radio debut was awesome. Attaboy, Jay Hinchy.
There you go, Jay Hinchy. Steve Gross, PTB's own Burt Reynolds. The Steelers for putting 11 in the box and giving the game away to Tebow.
Put your hand in the box.
Put your hand in the box.
All Austin Pfaff, WWE for ruining Brodus Clay, though it was hilarious, I must admit. And Zack Ryder for wasting time fixing a flat. Are you serious, bro?
I know, really. Call AAA. What the hell? Mike Wilkinson, but I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings in May. Thank you, Mike. My nominee would have to be Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
This guy is trying to pull the I left BS when he was fired. I wish someone would have cued the Vince
shut up
sound bit when he was talking.
And finally, Jay Hinchy. Not a lot of fans of J. Arsenio D'Amato around here. El Gigante needs to break out the chloroform on J. Arsenio D'Amato. So we're kind of all over the place this week, but I guess I don't think I agree with it. I don't think you do either, but seems like everyone is kind of leaning towards creative for Brodus Clay, so we'll give it to that. And I kind of dissent, but that seems to be
yes,
the main focus out there. So
yeah, that's okay. All right, fair enough.
All right, there you go. This is your asshole of the week.
There's your asshole of the week. So last week it was something, and this week it is creative, who seems to get it just as much as Matt Hardy did last year, and that seems to be bucking the trend. Although this week we love you, PTB Nation, but I think you guys are being a little too we're being a little too harsh, but that's okay. All right, why don't we dive into some sports chat?
Leaving Sacramento, Sacramento, there I go. Leaving Sacramento. Sacramento,
there I go. They got some fat
ass women there, and Rock is gonna just say no. Well, I'm not take a plane. I might take a train. I do you people live here? You must be insane. I'm leaving Sacramento. But I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings in May.
That's awesome.
They got
and
that big bitch Todd Weber
sitting
there crying about everything.
And of course, the Lakers and Kings didn't play each other in 2003, but that was good. All right. Quickly, let's talk about what our man Matt Sousa was referring to. And that was the game this past Saturday at the Garden between the defending in a Stanley Cup rematch, the current world champions, the Boston Bruins, and the their opponents that they pimp-slapped in the finals in June, the Vancouver Canucks.
Now, things get ugly from the start.
Yeah.
There was a big 6-on-1 attack that not go so well, Sean Thornton. Right in front of the Vancouver bench. And then, was it Krejci? I'm drawing a blank now.
Lucic
came over to make the save, and he ends up getting thrown out for the game.
Yeah,
so that fucks him from the start. Then there's another fight later with with Thornton. I'm all over the place. I was so fired up about this today, and now the day
yeah, no, it was Thornton. It was Thornton.
They had a fight, and then another fight almost broke out, but they were him and Salo. We're arguing in the face-off, and they were about to fight, and then he backed off. And, no, Sal's the guy who got hurt, right?
Yeah, Sal's the guy that got hurt.
Okay,
yeah.
Who the fuck is the other guy then? Who's like their big goon guy? Is that him?
I had
this whole thing like I was so fired up this morning listening to the radio. Now I'm all over the place.
Oh, well, it was Burroughs, and then was it not the Sedin brothers?
No, there was someone that was getting in the fight with Thornton, and him were going to fight, and then he backed off, and they ended up giving a penalty to Thornton. And then, of course, the hit by Marshawn, which I actually disagree a little bit. I do think he probably should have been suspended. I mean, by the letter of the law, it was a dirty hit. My beef is with Vancouver bitching and moaning afterwards. And their coach, the biggest pussy of all the pussies, the king pussy, up there crying about how, oh, we're going to have to take matters into our own hands. He's going to get what's coming to him and all this other stuff. All they do is bitch and complain and moan. You know, you don't hear anyone in the Bruins say anything. You don't hear anyone on any other teams. No team likes Vancouver. All they do is cry. Them and the Canadians. All they do is piss and moan all the time. Complain about officiating. Complain about the brutality of the game. Just go out there and fucking play. Police yourselves. You bait guys into fights. I didn't hear them crying when they were getting beaten down 6-on-1. I know that much.
Yeah. That's Elaine. Asshole?
Exactly.
Name?
That's all you need to know. His name is Elaine.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going back to the story on ESPN. Brad Marchand, Rich Peverly, Burroughs tied it. I'm trying to think where the fight started.
The thing was when Marchand ended up getting that major, and that's when Vancouver scored their last two goals. So that definitely ended up hurting them. And it was a stupid play by Marchand. He shouldn't have done it. I mean, he's going to be smarter in that situation. So I put no blame. I'm not complaining about the call. I'm not complaining about the suspension. I'm just annoyed with Vancouver's incessant whining.
Yeah. Look.
Man up and play hockey.
Yeah, you know what? This is how Western Conference hockey teams are. They piss and moan. They skate around. They think it's like Western Conference basketball in the NBA. All right, you're going to go up into Boston. You're going to play the Flyers. As much as I hate them, they play the same way. You play the Rangers. You play the Devils. You're going to get your ass kicked. Okay, no one lets you skate from end to end without getting touched. So grow up and just
don't
deal
cry
with
about
your...
it. And then levy threats after. Basically putting a hit out on the guy. So
yeah, you know what? Because when they go back up, when they go up to, I don't even know if they're playing at that.
They're not playing.
Dump out in the middle of the
woods.
That
was the only time.
Oh, good. They'll play again in June, and they'll kick their ass again. So you know what? Just shut up and move on. You lost last June. Get the fuck over it. All right, you're done. You were up 2-0 last year. You were playing your style of hockey, and then in game three, you thought you could be fake tough, and then you paid the price for it. So deal with it. You lost. Move on. All right. I've got the hat that says World Champions, and. I love you. Was it Jared Incel? like it, Jared, but your team doesn't. Sorry. But, you know, it's just get over it. Just moving on. All right. And by the way, the I didn't realize the Hall of Fame, the All-Star game is in Ottawa. I didn't realize that. Do you know where the NBA All-Star game is?
No.
It's in Orlando. I didn't know that either until I saw a commercial early in the week. Do you know where the Major League All-Star game is this year?
AL or NL?
AL. Old ballpark.
Old?
Old.
How old?
It's the only ballpark this team's ever played in. It's been refurbished.
Toronto?
No, that was Skydome. Not Skydome. Coffman,
still in
Kansas.
Skydome.
Yeah, but they were in Skydome in 89. They were in Exhibition Stadium before that.
I don't remember anything from that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City. Next year, it's at Citi Field.
Did you hear the you probably didn't. You got to go find it. On this morning on the Sports Hub, they played a clip. Michael Felger on his Comcast Sports show had some bitch writer from Vancouver on. Ugh. And he was ripping Thornton, and they actually had him in studio backstage getting ready to come on. So Felger's
nice.
Like, hey, we got him here. Do you mind if we mic him up? And the guy's like, okay, yeah, whatever. And, you know, he's saying how the guy that Thornton, he's like, oh, Thornton had a 40-pound advantage on the guy you wanted to fight. And Thornton's like, well, I'm 210, so I don't know how much that guy weighs. Does he weigh 270 pounds? And he's like, oh, you got 30 on him. And he's like, he's 180? He's like, oh, no, he's 190, so 20 pounds on him. And he was saying how that guy had already been in a fight, and it was unethical of Thornton to want to fight him a second time in a period or something like that. And Thornton was just
like, oh, my God.
Thornton just shut him down. Completely, and you can hear the guy like just stumbling over his words. And Thornton's like, "Well, I didn't hear anyone complaining about me fighting two times in a period after I got jumped by six guys to start the game." So, and the guy was just like, "Oh, well, yeah, I agree with you on that one." And he just like totally got shut down. It was really funny. I'm sure you can find it either on YouTube or if you go to the Sports Hub's website. Podcast Files probably has it up. But
I gotta go to the, Oh God, get a life. Really, unbelievable. I like Sean Thornton.
Sorry,
awesome.
Jared. We love you. We just hate your bitch hockey team.
Yeah. Roof of the Flames or something. Okay. Let's get a little – do we have any baseball to talk about? Anything at all? Apparently there's the Mets are getting some – the Mets are getting an infusion of cash by some anonymous source. I don't know. Maybe it's the mafia or something.
That always sounds right.
Yeah.
Can't wait till the next lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing I will say is the Reds got a very good deal. Ryan Madsen, 1 year, $8.5 million.
Yeah. That's good. One more guy to take away from the Phillies. Love it.
Yeah, well, the Phillies, I think they might be in a little trouble this year.
I think they are, too. Nothing with you guys. Prince Fielder's still floating around, right? He hasn't signed with anybody.
Yeah, Seattle's the only place I've seen kind of rumored for him.
Mm, interesting. We'll get more into baseball, you know.
Yeah, that's nothing worth talking about right now.
Yeah, another few weeks. All right. Before we get to the games themselves, let's talk about some actual NFL news. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a new head coach, Mike Mularkey, the former Bills coach leaves Atlanta because he ran such a great offense as we saw on Sunday. and he goes to,
he hasn't had any head coaching success, right?
No, he coached the Bills and they were like mediocre. I don't even think he reached 500 with the Bills.
I don't know. Really? I mean, they can't find anyone better than that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's, I don't know. But anyway, he's the new head coach of the Jaguars. The one that pisses me off the most, and I'm curious of your opinion on this. I don't care who's a new GM or not a new GM. Hugh Jackson did not deserve to be fired as head coach of the Raiders. That was ridiculous. 8-8 is the best season they've had in about 10 friggin' years, and then they just cut the guy loose after one season. I didn't buy that whatsoever. I thought that was a bunch of crap, to be honest with you. You know, they were one game away from...
He sealed his fate with running his mouth and kind of spouting off. It sounds like they want to completely overhaul that whole... It sounds to me like, too, I guess Davis's kid is talking about moving them back to L.A. again. So I think there's a lot of things going on with that
Jesus
franchise.
Christ. Oh, God. But I don't know. I thought the guy deserved another chance. But
I agree. He did a good job.
What are you going to do? Let's see. Any other coaching? What's that, the karaoke version?
That's all I can find. YouTube sucks. All right.
That's like the karaoke version.
I like it. I don't care what it is. It gets me pumped up. Me and my man, Jason Greenhouse, celebrating deep into the night last night. Matt Davis as well. The era. The reign of terror. No, it's not karaoke. It's like a solo version or something.
It's an updated version. Yeah, it's not the original, but it's not.
I don't give a fuck who it is.
All right, whatever.
Yes, the reign of terror is over. Brian Schottenheimer, gone. You know, he's claiming they parted, whatever, he's not returning, whatever term they wanted to use. He is out the door, never to be seen again in New York. There's rumors he's going to interview for the Alabama offensive coordinator position. Whatever, they can have him. Goodbye, sir. Thank you for putting on the crappiest offensive product possible over the last 5 years. You will not be missed. And, of course, your boy.
Yes.
Sunglasses himself in the house. Brought in as the offensive coordinator. And there's rumors that Todd Haley, of late of the Chiefs, was interviewing today. And rumors that he's going to be in as an assistant head coach and kind of quarterback guru running the passing game. And Sperano's going to do the
O-line
in the run game. So
kind of call the plays.
Yeah, and I guess they've worked together in the past, and they have a good rapport. And Rex said he loves Sperano's philosophy on offense, and that's what he's looking for. You know, Rex needs someone that he can trust that's going to do the things the way he wants to do them so he can focus on the defense. Schottenheimer and him had a lot of clash, a lot of issues. He didn't want to keep Schottenheimer when he came in. Woody Johnson made him keep him. So he wants someone he can trust and not have to worry about the offense. Now, there's all this other crap coming out today. Players throwing Mark Sanchez under the bus and Nick Mangold's defending him. And you know what? I ignore this shit because it all leaks out anytime. But highly predicted team. We saw it with the Red Sox when they fail, crash and burn. All the shit hits the fan the couple weeks after the season ends. It's been the same for years. So to me, I think a lot of this will be swept under the rug. They're going to obviously overhaul the regime, and I think they'll overhaul a little bit of the offense as well. But I think Sanchez will be here next year. I think Santonio Holmes is still going to be there next year, too.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sanchez. I knew you were trying to look for it at some point.
We'll have to break it out next year when we do the Jets games.
Yep. I think the anonymous thing about, you know, maybe Mark Sanchez does feel complacent because he could have maybe easily been benched, but who knows? The fact remains
is... problem? You got a guy older than you backing him up in Mark Brunell.
I wish I was making his money. I'd just sit around and do nothing. The problem that everyone has now is all these teams, of course, for those that we discussed it last week, the Indianapolis Colts will indeed have the number one overall pick in the draft, and it's obviously no surprise whatever that they will draft Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck. So now everybody and their mother thinks that the Colts are just going to cut Peyton Manning loose with no strings attached. So now you're going to see a lot of teams like throw quarterbacks onto the bus, and everyone thinks the Rams are going to get rid of Bradford and all this other stuff.
That was the stupidest thing. That was like this big news story. Like, anonymous players say the Jets would be better off with Peyton Manning. Well, no fucking shit. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I know.
Of course they're going to be better off with Peyton Manning. Who wouldn't say that? They're speaking the truth. And a lot of guys get ripped for not speaking the truth. So to me, that's fine. I didn't care for whoever was saying the stuff about him not being prepared, not being the guy to lead them. You know, they weren't saying this stuff 8 months ago when everyone was gushing about how he was going to make the leap in year three and he had been back-to-back AFC championships. And you know, everyone's just fickle. It comes and goes with the wind. If the Patriots lose this week to Denver, which I don't think is going to happen, but it could, everyone's going to start turning on Bill Belichick. He can't win a playoff game. What happened to Bill Belichick? What happened to Tom Brady? That's just how it goes. That's the 24/7 negative media that's out there. The Jets have a bullseye on themselves, self-inflicted bullseye. You know, they ask for this and they get it. So as a fan, I'm just like, whatever. Everyone's going to talk and say what they want to say. We'll see when the chips are down next year and they have I'm glad they made a change. They realized how bad things were and they needed. And the other thing is guys like Sperano and Haley aren't going to take the shit that Schottenheimer and everyone else took from these punks on the offense, Holmes and these other guys. They're going to expect respect and discipline as well. So we'll see. But, you know, Holmes, he's a guy that's not going to bitch if he's getting the ball. So if they use him as more than a decoy like Schottenheimer used him as, I think he'll be a little bit happier.
Okay. Well, a lot of things have to happen with that team, and maybe my man Tony, who's a tough son of a bitch, and you're also dealing. And you made a good. We were talking about this earlier during pre-production that you were talking about. You know, maybe the Jets now having former head coaches who have dealt with people, and maybe they'll gain the respect of these guys, and they'll just, you know what, I'm not dealing with your shit. Just shut the fuck up and get on the field, and maybe that'll work. Maybe they need a little discipline. You know, so we'll see. But it's nice to know that, you know, all we have to worry about as Cowboy fans is whether or not Jerry's going to blow the draft and draft five more wide receivers.
Well, it sounds like you hired Bill Callahan for your O-line.
Yeah, and he's that's a good job for him, I think. Mm-hmm. And our offensive line.
Good job by him.
What? Good job by him. Did they leave their Diet Coke bottles again? You know, he's a great coordinator. He had some success at Nebraska. And
I thought he did a good job with the Jets, but it's obvious that Rex didn't see him as the guy that should, you know, take over, and he obviously wanted to move on, so he opted out of his contract.
I would love to have seen Tony back in Dallas. I would love to have seen it. But, you know, Dallas has a lot of youth on the offensive line. Maybe they need, and the offensive line wasn't the problem this year. It was the defense. It was the secondary and the linebackers. But I've never said – it's funny. I was talking to a guy at work who's a Cowboy fan too, and I'm like, I've never actually looked forward to the draft in a while. It's really weird saying that. But before we get to the picks, let's just recap quickly the four – do you want to do it all in one lump, or we can – well,
no,
let's do
just
it now.
Do it in the picks.
Okay. We wrap up the show with what we always wrap up with. It's time to get on the field.
That might have been the worst segue of all time.
I know.
You didn't think I was going to let you get away with that one, did you?
It's awful.
It's time to get on the field.
Get on the field. I didn't know what to say, but anyway. All right. Wild card weekend is come and gone. Hey, look, man, Adam Bomb's on the screen right now. Wild card weekend came and went. We'll do a quick recap. The Texans, boy, they totally shocked us. Very impressive.
No, go back. Who'd they shock?
Oh, they shocked me.
Yes.
You pick the Texans. But
Get on the field.
And on the field. You know what? I put a lot of faith in a rookie, and he threw three picks, and the Texans beat the Bengals 31-10. In the night game, what was a fun game for what, about three quarters?
Yeah.
The Saints pulled away for a 45.
Detroit shot themselves in the foot, as usual, like we predicted. If they were going to lose, it was going to be self-inflicted wounds.
Yep.
And, they missed a couple of opportunities they had to keep themselves in that game.
Yeah. And the Saints move on 45-28. On Sunday, the early game, as somebody in one of our PTB Nation members said in the Asshole of the Week thread, the Giants technically essentially shut out the Falcons. The final was 24-2. The Saints got their safety on a grounding call by Eli Manning, but the offense looked really good. Defense smacked Matt.
And again, more questionable calls by Mike Smith. And I was fine when they went for it on 4th and inches, but the play calling was just insipid. I mean, going for the quarterback sneak twice in a row, and then the third time they punted, and they just, I don't know, that team just seemed overmatched. The Giants, we'll see if they can stay hot, obviously, with this matchup.
Mike Mularkey probably made those play calls, and that's why he's going to coach a mediocre Jacksonville offense. So, and then, of course, the nightcap, the most exciting game of the day. In overtime, I can't figure out the new overtime rules. I don't have a clue. I don't even know what the hell they were talking about.
If the team that wins the coin flip, or the first team to score, if they score a field goal, the other team gets a chance to match or score a touchdown to win. If the first team scores a touchdown, the game's over.
Okay, the Fox or CBS made it way too confusing by putting all this stuff on the screen. Now I get it. But it didn't matter anyway. First play from scrimmage, Tebow finally throws his best-looking pass in about 5 weeks. And
he threw some good passes in that game.
He threw a few good ones. The Steeler defense didn't play that bad, but you could tell Ben just – the guy's a tough son of a bitch. I mean, he willed them to win that to at least get the tie. But Broncos win it 29-23 in overtime. Mm-hmm. All right, let's begin. On Saturday, we'll begin at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, where the league's best defense – plays the league's best offense. This is the matchup everyone really has been waiting for, even more so than anybody against the Packers. The New Orleans Saints, which right now, let's be honest, PIC, have you seen, I don't think I've ever seen an offense like this. I felt like every single down against the Lions, somebody was always open.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
The only thing I can really think of off the top of my head to compare with them would be the Rams, the early part of the decade with Warner. The Pats in 07 weren't this good at this point of the season.
No.
They were more of a deep threat team.
Yeah.
I guess the Pats of this year match up kind of well with the Saints. I don't know. But, yeah, it is impressive to watch, especially on turf. Now, I'm curious to see how they do. The weather's supposed to be fine in San Francisco, but without the turf and against a much better defensive team, I'll be curious. Now, the Niners can be thrown on. They can't really be run on. So Sproles may be negated in this game, but we'll see if Breeze can throw on them. Key to the Niners is going to be to keep them close. Don't let them get up too much. And I know the Niners have a couple of comeback wins this year, but you don't want to get down, you know, 13, 14, anything like that to the Saints in this game. So, especially with an inexperienced playoff team like this, the Niners have. So, I'm going to take the Saints. I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners upset them, but I just think they're too inexperienced, and I just don't know if they can hang points up with the Saints.
Has there ever been a bigger steal, though, by a team in terms of personnel in the last 20 years than Darren Sproles.
No.
I mean, nobody, Sean Payton just knew what to do for this guy.
Yeah.
And he's just amazing. He'll line up in the slot then. He may not line up in the backfield. They may just put somebody else back there and they'll line Sproles up in the slot. Maybe line him up next to Jimmy Graham. Who knows? I mean, the way Sean Payton's playbook is, God knows what'll happen or where they'll put him. I like the Saints in this game too. I like Jim Harbaugh. He's had a great year. This Niner defense is tough, but I think the Saints will score just enough points because it's not a question of the Niner defense. Is Alex Smith really going to keep up in this game? I don't think so. I like the Niners to win this. The Niners to hang around a bit. I think the Saints pull away with some big plays late, and we'll win this game and move on to the NFC Championship. All right, the late game. We go to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, where Tebow mania continues another week as the Broncos take on the New England Patriots. You know, no one has been, and again, I stay out of the whole Jet-Patriot war because it doesn't affect me either way, but I've always been a big Brady fan, and I think he's kind of playing angry this year. The Josh McDaniels thing to me is irrelevant. Because he makes offensive coordinators look good.
I mean, that is a little goofy, though, that he's allowed to come in and join the squad.
Well, it's an interesting thing. It's almost like, well, if players can't do anything after trade deadlines, why do coaches get to do things after in the middle of the season?
It's a little weird.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But I don't think it's going to matter either way. I think the Broncos are going to look a lot better in this game than originally, than their first meeting. And I think they may jump out to an early lead. But when it comes to brass tacks, I don't think Brady will let them lose this game today. I think they'll get a big lead in the third quarter, and I think Tebow will just run out of time. So I'm going to take the Patriots to win this game. But don't be surprised if Denver takes an early lead. They got the momentum. Pats have been sitting home for a couple weeks, and I think Denver kind of jumps out to an early lead and kind of freaks the Pats out a little bit. But in the end, I think the Patriots just win. I think they just have more weapons.
Here's a little fun fact I picked up today.
Okay.
The Patriots are only the third team since 2004 to not have a quality win, meaning a win over a team over 500,
yep,
and make the playoffs. And the last two, Green Bay in 2004, got destroyed in their first game. And Detroit this year obviously got beaten. So they are only the third team to not beat a team over 500. Now, luckily for them, they're not playing a team that was over 500 this week. So,
yeah.
I like New England at home here. You know, I'm obviously going to be rooting for Denver. I'd love to see them knock them off so they keep up the whole questions here is what's wrong with Belichick and Brady? Why can't they win playoff games anymore and continue that slump? But I mean, if there's one thing, the way to beat the Patriots is throw deep on them. And Tebow proved last week he can throw deep. So if I'm Denver, I don't call one short pass, man. I run, 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 bomb. Run, 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 bomb. And that's it. Just keep throwing bombs out there. Let those guys run out there, run wild on the Pats. So, and if the defense plays like they did last week, Von Miller gets hot and hits Brady early and matches that Jets formula from last year where if they rattle him, they can play, they can hang, but I'm going to take the Pats. Like I said, the John Cena of football. You don't bet against them until they lose.
Exactly. And honestly, and if the Steelers had won this game Sunday, I would have picked the Steelers because they already beat the crap out of the Patriots.
Yeah,
once
but
this
that's
year.
A different team. I wanted the Steelers to win because I wanted them to go into New England because I thought they had a better chance. But watching that team, Roethlisberger can't really throw it on the field right now. He's too banged up. So the way to beat the Patriots is to throw on them, not run. So I think Denver may actually have a better chance at this point.
All right, well, we'll see. That's Saturday night, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Sunday, the early game takes us to M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, where the Ravens host the Houston Texans. This is a fascinating matchup. This might be the closest game of the day. No one rode the Ravens bandwagon bigger than I did all year, so I'm going to stick with them. But I'll tell you something. The Ravens have a tendency to not show up, but this is two things that always go for them. They're playing a good team, and they're at home. The Ravens only struggle when they play crap teams on the road. Baltimore will not blow this game. Houston will play well, but I think the lack of Yates will struggle against this Raven defense, though. I think Flacco will play a controlled game. He'll make his plays. I take Baltimore at home.
I'm having issues here. I don't. I like you. I'm going to take Houston. This is my one upset of the week. Baltimore, okay. I just don't trust. I got to see Flacco win something. I think Houston can go in there. I think they're going to be playing with a lot of confidence. They're going to have to play a smart game, play at their pace, run the ball. These two teams are actually very, very similar. Quarterbacks, you're not sure if you can trust. Great run games, great defenses. And I think Houston ends up stealing it at the end. It'll be close. I can see them winning like on a field goal or something like that. But I'm going to take them. I think they steal this game and go to the AFC Championship. They're playing with house money at this point, too.
Okay. All right. And finally, we go to Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the defending world champions, the Green Bay Packers, host the New York Giants. These two teams played, was it like week 12, I think, or 11 or something, at the Meadowlands. Packers won by a field goal. I don't think that game's going to be this close this time. You know, a lot of people, I talked to a few Giant fans, and they think, oh, they're getting that 2007 feeling. Well, look, that 2007 Giant team had a different kind of emotional mojo. This defense does not have that rah-rah Strahan kind of guy. They're playing well, but Pierre Paul is too young to be the kind of guy to lead defenses into hostile territories and that kind of thing. The Giants secondary is not very good. And Aaron Rodgers, pure and simple, Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that doesn't make mistakes. He's not going to be an idiot like Favre, throw in a double coverage, do stupid things, and force mistakes. This is usually a mistake-free football team, and if the Packers avoid making mistakes, they win this game. I think it'll be competitive, but the Packers win at home.
I'm going to take the Packers as well. Obviously, I caught a lot of shit from all the Giants fans out there for picking against them last week, and then they stomped the Falcons. And that was a pick out of anger, I admit that. I didn't completely believe that Atlanta could go in there and win that. So this time around, though, I'm going to ride with Green Bay. I think the Giants can give them a game. They obviously gave them a game earlier this year. But now that Rodgers and those guys have had a week to rest, and I believe that Jennings should be back for this game as well. So I think the secondary of the Giants is beat up. Now, if they get the pressure on Rodgers and hit him early and make him start dancing a little bit, maybe they can go in there and steal this game. But I think at this point, you just got to go with the Packers is very similar to the Patriots right now. I really can't pick against them until we see them get beat. But now I will be curious if it is them and the Saints in the championship. That'll be very interesting.
It will be very interesting. All right, so I pick Niners, Patriots. I pick all the home teams. You pick all the home teams except Houston.
Yes.
So there we go. So there is your divisional playoff picks. Some good games. And the first weekend that football is all pro, of course. Congratulations to Alabama for winning a dreadfully boring national championship game. And there seems to be some discussion about adding a plus one. For those that don't know what a plus one means, because a lot of people don't get confused by all these, what it essentially means is, no, there won't be an extra game. What will happen is every year, two of the four BCS games, whether it's Rose Orange, Fiesta Sugar, will be semifinals between 1-4, 2-3 in the BCS, and then those two winners playing the BCS National Championship. So really the only difference is the third and fourth teams on the BCS list will be considered in like a mini four-team tournament. That's the that's what plus one means.
I just don't give a fuck.
Well, being a college football fan, Tim Brando, who's a great CBS analyst, does a show on my network. College football, greatest regular season, horrible postseason.
Yeah.
It's been like that for years. The games are better in the regular season.
I just can't get into it. I mean, there were NFL teams that played five games in the time that LSU and Alabama played their two games.
I know. I agree. No, I don't disagree with you. But I still love watching college football in the fall. I still do. The postseason needs some serious work. Anyway, I just wanted to say congrats to Alabama, even though I hate Nick Saban. So.
Well, stick with me here because I got a lot of plugs, a lot of things to talk about. First of all, I got to give a shout out to the Friars of Providence. Bitch slapped Louisville last night on national TV by 31. Wow. That was coming. You could tell this team was ready to break out. They played some tough games. They hung with Syracuse. They hung with Seton Hall, who obviously is proving to be quite good. They only got two losses in their rank now. So
yeah.
And they hung with Georgetown as well. We'll see a big test this week at Syracuse. So
yep.
But shout out there. That was a very fun game. Yep. Also want to give a shout out to our boy Austin Pfaff, the return of his Markout Nation podcast at markoutnation.podbean.com.
Yep.
Also wants to give us the plug to his boys at Beyond Limits Wrestling Event January 21st. Nomad's Adventure Quest in South Windsor, Connecticut. His stepbrother Shane Marvel will be in action, and the crew of Markout Nation will be there as well, maybe even involved. So listen to their podcast for details on that. Shout out there. Of course, shout out to the Nation. Get at me if you're interested in being on the 100th episode. I've already gotten, what'd you say, it was like 14 people we've gotten involved.
Yep, 12, 13 people, yep.
When you get to me and say you want to be on the show, also please provide us with your Skype name as well. And, of course, you do need Skype and a microphone, and we're going to line you up based on your best availability and maybe have two of you on at a time where you can talk for about 10 minutes apiece. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, Scott, I told you I had a big surprise for you. You ready for this major news?
Go right ahead. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Tomorrow night, you and I are recording the King of the Ring 95 Vintage Vault. Of course, that'll be posted this Sunday evening for all the PTB Nation. And we're going to have a special guest with us to review the show.
Really?
The one and only Graham the Broham.
Ah, really?
Yes, he is joining us in the flesh via audio, however you want to say it. And he's going to go co-host that show with us. He's going to. He said, I gave him the option. I said, you want to do headlines tonight or King of the Ring? And he said, I feel like venting. Let me get on King of the Ring. So Graham will be joining us for the King of the Ring Vintage Vault this week as well. So continue to get your feedback into that. We already got a ton, so we're looking forward to that as well. So
absolutely.
All right. I think that's all I had for plugs. Hit us up at bigelow34.proboards.com. We got a lot going on there lately. At our email, placetobepodcast@gmail.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, place2bpodcast@2. Also check out wrestlechat.net, thehistoryofwwe.com, the blog of doom. It's all out there for you, all our fellows and friends across the internet, and of course place2bnation. So Scott, do you have anything else before I pass out?
No, we've done way too many plugs. We had a great show tonight. Thank you, PTB Nation. Thank you, Austin Pfaff. Good luck on the 21st. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to talking to you and the Broham tomorrow night.
Yes, looking forward to that. So we will be back this weekend with you for King of the Ring 95. Me, Scott, Graham, be there.
What you think this is? Ain't no amateurs here. I damage and tear. MCs fear me. They too near not to hear me. Clearly, I'm the triple beam dream. 1,000 grams of uncut to the gut. It seems fucked up the way I touched up the grill. Trying to play gorilla when you ain't no killer. The gas by your liver, your upper lip quiver. You're ready to die. Tell God I said hi and throw down some ice for the nicest MC. Niggas know the steelo, unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.